Good afternoon. It's 3:30 and you're listening to KVNF. This is Local Motion, your weekly source for conversations with people about ideas and issues that affect your world. I'm Travis Bubinick. I'm joined in the studio today by Michelle Amiot and AmeriCorps Vista with both Live Well, Montrose Olathe, and the Valley Food Partnership.
Hi, it's great to be here today.
I'm also joined by Elaine Brett, who's on the board with the Valley Food Partnership.
Hi, Travis. Glad to be here.
Thank you both so much for joining us here today on Local Motion. So these two nonprofit groups are focused on food and health issues here in Western Colorado, but also across the state. Michelle, I want to start off talking to you first. You just arrived here about a month and a half ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
And from what I understand, you went to school in Chicago where you studied biology and anthropological biology at Loyola. So during that time, you also helped run a youth garden. You worked to promote yard sharing, community gardening in some of the communities there. You later worked at a family-run organic farm in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So you've had a lot of experience in the realm of healthy food. And so I wanted to just start off by asking you, what drew you to the Rocky Mountains from the Midwest, and what is your role going to be for these two groups that you're working with?
Well, my background in Chicago really was very transformative in my early 20s, and I started learning like the role of food in my personal health and the role of food in shaping the local economy and transforming a community. But I realized that we aren't growing our food in the city. We can maybe do a little bit, and that little bit can go a long way, but most of our food is being grown in rural areas, and there's a lot of production going on in the Midwest, but there was a whole different type of farming and a whole different narrative that I really was interested in learning about. And of course, I was interested in being in the Rocky Mountains. And so I came out here and applied to AmeriCorps Vista and started interviewing with Valley Food Partnership and Live Well Montrose Olathe. I was completely enthralled and motivated by the goals of both these organizations.
So what drew you to these two particular groups?
Well, I think it's a very unique collaboration to look at Valley Food Partnership, which works with producers all over the Western Slope, and to combine that and to find ways to strengthen production in the area. And then Live Well, which is can work with a broader narrative about healthy eating and active living. And I think the combination of the two organizations creates a really powerful platform to transform our communities.
Right. And speaking of that broader platform, Live Well Montrose Olathe, we should mention, is actually just a local arm of the statewide Live Well nonprofit, which is primarily focused on reducing obesity and promoting healthy and active living throughout the state. They try and do that through public education and public policy changes, and a lot of their efforts are focused on what they see as increasing access to healthy behaviors. So I want to open this question up to both of you, Elaine and Michelle. Can you maybe just explain to us what this idea of increasing access to good health is all about? I mean, what kind of obstacles are people here in Western Colorado facing when it comes to trying to be healthy?
Live Well Colorado really focuses on two aspects, healthy eating and active lifestyle. And I think what's really important to mention about Live Well Colorado is they empower each of the Live Well cities to really focus on those who don't have access, specifically those living within 185% of the federal poverty line. So when you're living at that income level, you really, you know, whether it's you don't have money, you don't have time, you are living in communities that don't have the tax revenue to, you know, create public parks or to finance, you know, just different activities that promote healthy lifestyle, whether it's mental health, physical health, or access to healthy foods.
So a lot of it's economic reasons. That's why people have a hard time being healthy.
It is economics, but another important aspect is built environment. The whole goal with the Live Well City is to create an environment and a culture and a community that is empowering people to make small changes in their everyday life. So these small changes are adding up into a healthy lifestyle. So it's the amount of parks, it's whether kids can walk to school, it's whether there's grocery stores and farmers market. It's making these choices easy and making a culture and a community that reinforces these decisions.
Another barrier which we've been working with is also the distribution of food and getting food to people. It's a two-way thing. People have to come and have access to food, but also the food needs to be distributed. And throughout the years of the Western Colorado Food and Ag Council, as well as the Valley Food Partnership, now one of the things is creating and helping with those distribution networks, better farmers market distribution, better knowledge of where the healthy food is, and making that public, making it known how people can get in touch with local foods and healthy foods.
Right, so education on both fronts, it seems like, is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know that it's maybe not one or the other, but would you say that here in Western Colorado and, you know, in Montrose, in the North Fork Valley, near the San Juans, the entire Western Slope here, are people's obstacles to being healthy more centered around the availability of food, or do you think it's more of a lifestyle situation, or is it just a balance of those two things?
I think it's both, and certainly the choices people make about what their food intake is. We're as a society steered towards the marketing of packaged foods and industrial foods, and yet we live in a place of abundance. And so making that choice, understanding that that is a choice. There's a huge economic factor there as well, though. In both Montrose and Delta counties, the average incomes, per capita incomes, are much lower than even the state averages, let alone national averages. And so economically, the access to, for example, organic foods may be, in some cases, prohibitive to folks who are on a very limited budget.
And definitely in my experience, and I'm definitely still learning about the communities here, people may not have learned how to prepare whole foods. They may not be familiar with certain fruits and vegetables. And if you are a single parent or if you're working multiple jobs, you may not have time to cook something from scratch, or you may not think you have time. So there's an education there about food preparation, as well as how to get the foods, get whole foods in an affordable way.
Right. And I'm assuming you worked with some of that education when you were working on some of the community garden projects for kids in Chicago. I mean, is that right? Can you sort of tell me about that experience?
I had a really interesting background that's propelled me into looking at food access issues and food production issues. I got my start in 2010. My good friend and I ran a children's garden and nutrition program in a northern neighborhood of Chicago. And our neighborhood is actually the most diverse zip code in the country. Mm-hmm. And so we were working with children from middle-class and upper-middle-class families. We were working with children that had undocumented parents. We had children that were Ethiopian and Nepalese refugees. And so there was all different issues of levels of income access, of cultural barriers to access the urban food system. But there was also this great opportunity to work with these kids who may or may not have knowledge about cultivating edible foods and edible plants. And so we ran a class where they would learn gardening skills in raised beds, and then they would learn just different nutrition skills and food preparation skills, mm-hmm. whether it was, you know, using a blender or a grater, or learning about portion sizes, or eating whole. We always taught them to eat the rainbow of fruits and vegetables. Yeah. And so it was a really great opportunity.
Yeah. So do you feel like that early childhood education really makes an impact?
I think it does. I think about how it would have changed my life if I had been exposed to that. I grew up in the suburbs of Cincinnati, and that didn't have a strong agricultural tradition. It didn't have a strong tradition of, you know, from scratch cooking or fruits and vegetables. And it took till I was in college where I learned how to eat healthfully and to cook for myself. And now our kids can go out, they can go to the grocery store, they know like what they can buy to make a balanced meal, to get all they need nutritionally, and they also know how to grow it in a city nonetheless. And I think that's definitely applicable even obviously outside the realm of large cities.
Yeah. I mean, I think I can say without too much shame now that I didn't really know what an avocado was until I was about 17. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I was raised on chicken fried steak, and, you know, it's the same sort of experience. So, yeah, I think there is maybe a certain value to just having that early exposure, at least, to what these healthy alternatives are. Do you see that sort of strategy or that sort of focus of how to increase public awareness of healthy foods as being something that would work here in Western Colorado? Because, I mean, we do have a very active agricultural population. And, I mean, I guess you could sort of assume that a lot of kids already know some things about growing their own food. But do you think it's still necessary to have that here?
I'd love to answer that, because when I first came out here about 10 years ago, people would say, well, we need to teach our kids where their food comes from. Mm-hmm. And we're living in an agricultural area, and it just seemed very odd to me that kids wouldn't know that or wouldn't know the taste of fresh food until we started working in that arena and discovered that it is a very important thing. And if children can begin to develop taste for fruits rather than candy, for example, that they do that at a very early age, and they will choose fruit over candy. I see amazing kids raised in on the farms and in this community in the North Fork Valley who make those choices very early on. We've run some wonderful programs taking kids to farms and working with the Camp Foundation and some local farmers around here doing excursions, field trips, day trips to farms, and to watch the children taste something fresh right off of the stalk, right out of the farm, things that they wouldn't normally eat at home, but they taste it, they like it because it's fresh, it's good, it's sweet. And at a very early age, you can learn that. If you at an early age are learning processed food and candy, that you'll continue that through your life unless you have some kind of life-changing experience.
Anecdotally, the kids we worked with, they would bicker over who got to take home any food that was left over from the garden class, and then their parents would come back and pick them up, and they'd say, oh, our kids were wanting to help us with dinner, and, you know, they ate cooked carrots, or they made a salad, or they're bringing home recipes that they want their parents to try out. But one thing I think is really important is to look at gardens as not only is that education aspect, but about the engagement aspects. Like, that's the most powerful aspect for gardens for me, is we brought whole groups of families together that would never have been able to work together. We were bringing in seniors from assisted living facilities. We were bringing in youth that had been involved in the juvenile justice system, and they were all working together and learning from each other. And part of it is just creating a garden, creating an area to bring families, to bring your community together, to create that excitement and that culture about appreciating where your food is coming from, and appreciate growing your own food and eating healthy foods. And that is a huge, once you can create a space like that, it makes so much momentum for this movement.
And speaking with regard to the Live Well Montrose Olathe project in particular, are there already programs, or do you see any future for programs like community gardens or yard sharing?
Community gardens and school gardens have a huge amount of interest in Montrose and Olathe. Both Montrose and Olathe, the cities of Montrose and Olathe, are interested in promoting gardens on city land and in parks. Every single school in the Montrose and Olathe school district is interested in using school gardens to integrate their curriculum and also just teach children about healthy food. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be seeing several gardens cropping up each year from now, and there's a huge amount of excitement about it right now.
Mm-hmm. And you say interested in, so that begs the question, why isn't it already happening? Are there any, like we were saying earlier, barriers to why we aren't seeing schools being more affiliated with community gardens and that sort of thing cropping up in that area?
Well, I think there's been growing interest around the country, so people are figuring out how to do it and how to do a program that works in their school or their community. Like anything, there are issues of, you know, how's the best way to get people together? Like, how can we own this land? Like, can we get water to this land? What groups do we need to bring in? So it's a process that needs to be sorted out. And that's actually what I have the privilege to be here to do, is to figure out what might be some obstacles or some learning opportunities in these communities, and create an easier process. So when you have a group that is interested in starting a community garden, we've laid out the steps for you, and that process will be a lot smoother from here on out.
Mm-hmm. What is going to be the focus of your work as an AmeriCorps Vista for these nonprofit groups, or do you have a focus yet?
Yes, definitely. So the reason I am working for both organizations is because I'm going to be working on issues of food access. So I'll be working with the community garden efforts to lay out that process and to encourage and assist groups that are hoping to start gardens. And one of the other major issues I'll be working on is a program called Produce for Pantries, mm-hmm. which Elaine has also worked extensively with in the past. And I'll be working with some of our Valley Food partners to see if we can get fresh local foods into Sharing Ministries, which is already doing an incredible job of providing food to 5,500 people a month in a 5-county area.
So Produce to Pantries, that's just trying to get more local produce to food banks, or what's the history behind that?
Well, there have been efforts that we've worked with for the last 6 or 7 years under the name Grower Row and mm-hmm. Harvest Lunch, that the attempt was to connect local farms and local food with the food pantries, and used a number of different approaches. One was to have food specifically grown for these food banks or food pantries, and in the North Fork Valley, we've done that on local farms, or by reaching out to the community when folks had extra extra produce to be the conduit to get it to the food banks in the area. For a number of years, we worked also with Sharing Ministries in Montrose and brought produce down from farms, some that was gleaned from orchards, also in conjunction with some of the packing sheds, to be made available for these food pantries. One of the things that happens in food pantries is the easy way to go is to get processed food into the food pantries. And consequently, what people pick up is not always the most healthy stuff. It may fill their belly, but it may not be the most nutritious and healthy. And it certainly, in many, many cases, is not the freshest, because there are issues of storage and refrigeration and getting, again, a distribution, getting the produce to a pantry. In the programs that we've worked with, we've tried to overcome some of the barriers of distribution and storage and make it accessible so that people can have fresh fruit and vegetables in addition to or instead of the packaged goods.
What you're saying about that availability reminds me of this 2009 report from the Colorado Health Foundation, where they claimed that many people in the state aren't as healthy as they could be because of what they call food deserts. So places in, you know, dense urban neighborhoods, or conversely in isolated rural areas, like you said, don't necessarily have access to the kind of fresh, healthy produce that they should or maybe need to, and instead are, you know, relying on, like you said, processed foods. But we're certainly not in a food desert, so it's kind of surprising to hear that that's still an issue that we have to battle.
It is surprising, and yet when you look at programs that service the needs of people, they often have to go with the most efficient and the least cost, and they believe they're doing the right thing. There's been some great efforts. The Food Bank of the Rockies has been an extremely valuable organization to the food pantries throughout the Western Slope and throughout the state. And there still is the issue of storage, refrigeration, spoilage, and transport of fresh foods. And just a kind of a personal pet peeve of mine. One of the things is when we think of food deserts or not having healthy food, we as a society believe that if it says it's got vitamins in it on the box, we believe that we're eating healthy. Or if there's vitamins in our sports drink, we think we're eating healthy. And yet the studies have shown that fresh fruits, vegetables, fresh foods have a much better source of nutrients and nutrition than things that are chemically treated in boxes and in containers. And so there is a belief system that, you know, if you eat it, if it says it's nutritious on the box, that you're eating nutritious food. And that's a myth. It's a myth in our culture, in our society. So getting people to eating the fresh food, which really is much more healthful and much more natural for our systems, is a bit of a culture change as well.
So let's talk about some more of the economic challenges to being healthy in our area. I mean, we know that nationwide poverty is tied to obesity. I mean, that's no surprise to anybody by this point. But I'm wondering how big of a problem is it here in Western Colorado?
We definitely have a problem with poverty and food access here. For example, in the Montrose County School District, 59% of students qualify for free and reduced lunch. And like the nation, the amount of poverty and food insecurity has greatly increased since the recession in 2008. And so there's a difference between hunger and food insecurity. People may theoretically have sufficient income to meet their caloric needs, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily have the income to meet them in a way that they're supplying their caloric needs with a well-balanced meal that fulfills all the nutrients we need to live. So there definitely is a problem there. Nationally, over 17.6 million households do not have sufficient income to meet their nutritional needs and are food insecure. And that's 10% of all households with children. And that's definitely reflected here in Montrose and Delta, and most of our numbers are generally higher than the country as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the side of the obesity figures, you know, the state of Colorado has been kind of the shining star, but it's changing. Mm-hmm. And the percentages are increasing. From what I've seen in the county health rankings, Delta County is about on average with the rest of the state of Colorado in terms of numbers, percentages of obesity. I'm always very thrilled to see the kids of the North Fork Valley running around, and all you've got to do is go and look across the classrooms at our local schools, and kids don't look obese to me. They're really looking pretty good, pretty healthy. And I think it's an advantage that we have being in a rural area, that kids do get outside. They do exercise more, most likely, and they do have some access and appreciation for fruits and vegetables.
I mean, you're certainly right that rural areas provide kids with a lot more space to run around. So I guess we are lucky in that regard, but you know, again, another study here from the Centers for Disease Control, a study conducted between 2008 and 2011 showed Colorado to be one of the three states in the nation that actually saw an increase
right.
in childhood Definitely. Obesity rates. So, you sort of beat me to the punch there, but I wanted to ask whether you guys have seen any of that in your own work? I know, Michelle, you've only been here a month and a half, so probably not. But according to you, Elaine, that's not as big of a problem in our corner of the state as it is maybe in the Denver area?
That's my sense. I don't have the figures specifically, but my sense is that to an extent we're in a little better shape there.
And I know that it's just a larger cultural issue too, and I know that the Montrose Olathe School District is doing really interesting things, and they have a district-wide wellness policy. And so they just look at things like, how are we doing like rewards in classrooms? Are we doing edible rewards? And, you know, do they need to be things like candy or donuts or, you know, things with high sugar contents? And, you know, changing the hot lunch that's provided to make it sure it's more appealing, because kids are bringing in Lunchables or like ramen noodles that are high in carbohydrates and are processed. And so changing that, and also just like changing the cafeteria spaces that kids are eating in. So they want to stay, they want to like sit down and eat like a nice meal. So it is something that we're trying to address, especially in the schools, and that LiveWell is working very hard to address.
Yeah. So there's a whole cultural element, apart from just the education and availability of healthy food, that's involved here. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And that's really where I try to come at it, is to try and create communities and cultures that just celebrate these things. Because if you're trying to go about making these decisions and saying, like, oh, I can't eat that pizza, I can't buy that candy, you're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to be stressed out and you're going to want that food more. Mm-hmm. But the times where I've felt the healthiest and felt the happiest is when I've been in a community, I've been with friends and family, and we've had time to cook together, and we got to go to the farmer's market, or we knew exactly where our food came from, and it was just this wonderful experience buying it and preparing it. And if we're able to create spaces like that in gardens, in the schools, in all of our different community assets, that's where I think change can come from.
And there is another event coming up pretty soon here, I believe in like the next week, that I guess is something of an educational event as far as healthy foods go. Savor the San Juans, coming up on September the 15th. Tell us a little bit more about that event. What's that about?
Yeah, Savor the San Juans is going to be the benefit for the Valley Food Partnership and the Montrose Community Foundation. And it's going to feature six Montrose homes. And in each of those homes, there's going to be a local chef, including Mike Gillespie from the Living Farm Cafe here in Paonia, and chefs all the way from Montrose and Ridgeway. And they'll be preparing tasting menus. And all of the menus are going to be prepared from our Valley Food Partners, our farms on the Western Slope. Mm-hmm. And afterward, we're going to be toasting our home tour at Turn of the Century Saloon in Montrose with our local wines, beers, and hard ciders, and some really fantastic desserts.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Local Motion here on KVNF. I've been speaking with Michelle Amiot, who is a new AmeriCorps Vista for both LiveWell Montrose Olathe chapter and the Valley Food Partnership. I've also been joined by Elaine Brett, who's on the board for the Valley Food Partnership. If you'd like any more information about these two organizations or the events they have coming up, including Savor the San Juans on September 15th, it's available at the Valley Food Partnership's website. It's just valleyfoodpartnership.org. Thank you both so very much for coming in today. We really appreciate talking to you.
Thank you very much, Travis.
Thank you.